As we've been moving through this year, we've talked about a number of things related to the Christmas story. And what I wanted to do tonight is together try to get in the shoes of the angels. I don't know that I've heard a sermon at all that's focused upon what it would be like to be one of Jesus' angels. And so I want to do just a little bit of a survey through the scriptures as to who they are and what their interaction with Jesus was. Okay? And I titled this, The Lord of Hosts. The Lord of Hosts. I want to look at Jesus and his angels. The relationship there is quite amazing. A couple things come to mind, first off, about Jesus as he relates to the angels. Number one, Jesus is the creator of the angels. We need to sometimes remind ourselves of this because in our culture, we tend to talk about at times that, when people die, they turn into angels and they look down on us and they protect us, guardian angels. That's not true. That's not the way the Bible speaks at all. Angels were created somewhere around day two of the 6 days of creation. Jesus made them. A fixed number. They don't procreate. They're not being born and growing. They are. There's a fixed number. We know that a third of them followed Lucifer and his rebellion and are now understood to be demons. They're real and they are bad. Two-thirds remained loyal to the Lord, and those are the heavenly hosts spoken of in the scriptures. And so I want to just show you a little glimpse here of the scripture as it relates to Jesus being the creator. It says in Colossians that he, being Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all of creation, the preeminent one is what that means. For by him all things were created, all things, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, one of the things that we want to realize here tonight is that when it says all things, that includes every single one of you in this room. He made you. He made you. He made us. If it exists, God in Christ, Jesus Christ, is its creator. God created the angels, and he created you. And one of the things you can see right here is he created the angels through Jesus and for Jesus. That means that they exist for him. Okay? That's kind of an important thing to understand. If it exists, all things, it exists for Jesus, for the glory of Jesus. And that would also include each and every one of you tonight. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. If you do a study on the molecular structure of our bodies and DNA, and you realize that science can't really explain what keeps it all together. We know what that is. The glue that keeps you from combusting in place right now is Jesus. He is not simply the creator who started the ball, set it spinning, and then walked away. He is the creator who sustains and creates, and he is involved in all of these things. We get a glimpse of this, creation of angels specifically, and how they related to Jesus and his creating work in the book of Job. Job is a man who was tested mightily by God, and in the latter parts of this letter, in the Old Testament, the book of Job, God comes to him and, in a very direct way, begins to exhort him for his questioning of the hand of God. And this is what God says to Job. Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. So God can be sarcastic. Surely you know, Job. Or who stretched out a line upon it, or what were its bases sunk? Who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Now, when it says sons of God, we understand that to be the angels. The angels. He hasn't made the earth. He hasn't made mankind yet. it's the angels. This is day two, and he is creating this planet that we call home. And as he shapes it and forms it, the angels are testifying their joy and praising God, giving glory to him. And it speaks poetically of the stars singing for joy as well. So God is, in Jesus specifically, is the creator of the angels, but he's also the commander of the angels. This is a fascinating thing. He didn't simply create them. He actually created an army. The angels are organized. They have rank, and they exist as the army of the Lord. And the high supreme commander of the Lord of hosts, of the hosts of heaven, is the Lord of hosts, Jesus Christ, the commander. I was moving through the book of Joshua and came across this. I'll give you a little glimpse into this. Joshua is, he's crossed the river and he's camped and ready to take on Jericho, one of the first major conquests of capturing the promised land. And Jericho was this old school city with these gigantic walls, and it was well fortified, well defended. And here is the Israelites, and they're getting ready to take this city. Joshua is feeling the weight of this attack, and he looks over, and this is what he sees. Watch this. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua, I mean, pause for a second here. Joshua is thinking, okay, hold on now. Either this is one of my soldiers who's disobeying an order, because I didn't say draw your swords, or this is a bad guy. We got to deal with him. Okay, so he shouts out, are you for us or for our adversaries? And the response he gets back is, no, which is hilarious. I love this. It's like, are you for us? Are you going to kill us? Are you attacking us? Or are you with us and attacking them? And the answer is no. Whose side are you on? Are you rooting for the Seahawks or the 49ers? Answer is no. The answer is no. But then he follows this. But I am the commander of the army of the Lord. And now I have come. Man, that must have sent a shiver up Joshua's spine. And in that statement right there, Joshua knew this was the Lord. This was the Lord. And he came to fight with them. Really, it wasn't a question of Joshua asking the Lord, are you with us? It's the Lord really saying, are you guys with me? That's really what he's saying here. Are you with me? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, all the other places where angels show up and people are tempted to bow down and worship, they're rebuked. No, no, no. Don't worship the angels. They're very clear about that. But this was something different. Take off your sandals and worship. This is what theologians refer to as a Christophany. This is an Old Testament appearance of Jesus before he came in the Christmas story. This is cool. So you have Jesus as the creator of the angels, Jesus as the commander of the army of the Lord, the angels. Now, if on day two you existed and you watched Jesus shape the world and all of the history of man had played out, and you're literally watching this unfold, you're watching man rebel, you watch a third of your buddies fall into temptation and follow Lucifer, and then Adam and Eve and the sin that they committed to rebel against the Lord, and all of humanity plunged into darkness and sin. Then the global flood in Genesis, as the Lord exercised his wrath on sinful mankind. You were there. You saw all of this. And all of then the anticipation as the Lord chose and pulled a people out and gave a sacrificial system and showed them the temple and the blood of the Lamb and all of the things that foreshadow the work of Jesus. You saw this You were there. You were working and interacting. And then all of a sudden, word comes. The fullness of time has arrived. Jesus, our high supreme commander, is going to be born. The incarnation has come. The Gospel of John says it this way. In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And then it says, all things came into being by Him, through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. That means Jesus made it all. And then in verse 14 it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the Christmas story that we celebrate here. And so if you're an angel and you have this general, the supreme commander, and all of a sudden you go from General Jesus to baby Jesus, this was crazy. You can't even conceive. This is like God in a diaper. Okay? That's hard to even say. I don't say that disrespectfully. I mean, it was that. Jesus, the creator, the sustainer, the one who holds it all together, is now wearing a diaper and laying in strips of Mary's dress and laying in a feed trough in a shepherd's cave. What does this all mean? Well, the angels understood. They understood. And so what did they do? Well, they, in wonder and worship, praised God. They praised God and invited others to do the same. You see this, what we just read here in Luke chapter 2. Glory to God in the highest, supreme commander Jesus. That's who deserves all glory and praise. He created everything. There He is. He's laying there. And peace on earth. Peace on earth. What does that mean? Well, that means this Jesus has a mission. He's on a mission. He's not just randomly showing up. He came on a mission, and that mission is to purchase sinners from their sin and to save the lost. And so they have this understanding as well of the mission and ministry of Jesus. I want to show you just a quick glimpse throughout the ministry of Jesus, because you see His angels jumping in and involving themselves as the story goes from the manger to the cross. Jesus walks these things out. Watch this as it happens. Jesus, just before the initiation of His public ministry, just after the baptism of John the Baptist that He had, He was in the wilderness for 40 days. The Holy Spirit led Him to the wilderness. He was being tempted by Satan. He went through this so that He could identify with us in our temptations, in our weakness. He never sinned. While He was in the wild with animals, angels were ministering to Him. Think about that. Jesus' angels, the ones He created, are now ministering to Him. Their supreme commander and creator, they're serving Him and encouraging Him and helping Him. I don't know what all that means, but they were there. And you fast forward a little ways, the night that Jesus was to be betrayed by Judas, He withdrew from them about a stone's throw away, knelt down to pray, saying, Father, if You're willing, remove this cup from Me. He's headed towards the cross, and He feels the weight of sin. Nevertheless, Jesus says, not My will, but Yours be done. If there's any other way, let's do that. Jesus, in His humanity, you can feel the pull, the weight, but He surrenders His will. And there appeared to Him an angel from heaven strengthening Him to fulfill His mission. So I don't know that I caught that before. You just, as you're reading through, you get to the drops of blood part, and he's so overwhelmed to begin to sweat drops of blood. But there is an angel there strengthening Him. Don't quit. Be strong. Hang in there, Commander. You can do this. And then fast forward. They came up and laid hands on Him. Judas has just kissed Jesus and betrayed Him. Behold, one of those who were with Jesus, this is Peter, the zealot, he pulls out his sword and he struck the servant of the high priest and cut his ear off. He was aiming for the head, but the guy ducked. And so, whoosh, there goes his ear. And Jesus said to Peter, put your sword back in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. And then he says this, "Do you not think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and at once he will send me more than 12 legions of angels?" A legion is 6,000 fighting men. That's 72,000 warrior angels like that. Jesus could have appealed for that. His army was waiting in the wings, literally. And Jesus, with a word, could have gone down that road, but he didn't, because Commander and Creator was also Savior and Lord. And he walked that road for you and me. You fast forward after he was crucified and buried for 3 days. Watch what happens. After the Sabbath, toward the dawn, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see him in the tomb about 4 a.m. in the morning. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. I love that he sat, didn't stand. When this angel descended, he descended with such power and purpose that the earth shook, and he rolled the stone back, and then he sat down. Like, is that all you got? Is that seriously? I know my commander. You can't kill him. You can't keep him down. This angel's appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And for fear of him, these guards, some of the cream of the crop of the Roman soldiers, they became like dead men. They passed out in fear of this angel. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where he lay." And then you fast forward after Jesus appears to hundreds and hundreds of people and encourages them. He eats with them. He walks through walls. They see his hands and his feet and the wound in his side. It's a real Jesus, not just a ghost. Then watch what happens. When they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said, "It's not for you to know the time or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. This is the ascension of Jesus into heaven. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven." Basically, they're like, "Hey, guys, apostles, there's work to be done. He just gave you the Great Commission. Let's go get it done. Let's go do it." And there you see a turning point from the ministering that the angels gave to Jesus directly. At Pentecost, the Spirit of God descends and indwells the followers of Jesus. And the angels, we read in Hebrews, are given to minister to Christians and the elect. Fascinating thing. The army of the Lord is here tonight. They're here. You just can't see them. Angels are as real as the air that you breathe. And Jesus is their commander. So as we consider this, there's all kinds of ways to bring application, but I would encourage us tonight to just say, of this baby, let's not forget in his smallness, in the cuteness of a little newborn, this is the commander of the army of the Lord. And he has come as a baby once. But he has promised when he comes again, he will what? He will come with the same sword drawn that he showed Joshua. And he will ride on a war horse, white as snow. And he will charge from the heavens, and he will bring the church with him. And the second coming will bring the warrior Jesus, the King, the Victor, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And so, as we celebrate the birth of this Savior, we're celebrating the birth of God Himself. Sometimes we overlook that. He is the Lord of hosts. So just a question. Like the angels, Jesus is your creator. Are you a worshiper? Do you worship like the angels? He created you for him. Jesus created you for him, to worship him. Are you taking your cue from the angels in doing so? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? You know, some of you, if you're honest, you would say, you know what, fine, he's my creator, but he's not my commander. I really like to command my own army. I kind of like to call my own shots. You were created by Jesus to sit under his command. If there was a throne in your life, Jesus is the one who should have that throne. Sin and selfishness basically kicks Jesus out of his rightful place, and it puts me on it, puts you on it. And so I just challenge you tonight, if Jesus is your creator but not your commander, as he is the angels, just repent. Repent of your sins. Turn to Jesus. Make him the Lord of your life. Be a worshiper. Let's pray.